This is Radio Superior 1954, a reproduction of actual news events with authentic popular music from the 1950s. This is a true story of our past. So step back with us to another time. We bring you now inside the KUWS radio studios and the evening Gather Round show.
Come on in and gather around, campers. Tim Michaels here, lighting the campfire. It's Thursday, March 4th, 1954. Lou Martin has all the news for you to peruse. The labor guy is in with ideas to keep young people from leaving the area. And the Cracker Barrel lady is in.
You're getting as bad as Jack with the names. Labor guy, Cracker Barrel lady.
There's only so much room upstairs for memory. The 6 o'clock news is brought to you by the Arrowhead Bridge. It's faster, safer, and more scenic connecting West Duluth with Superior. Now, here's that news guy.
Thanks, announcer guy. 5 congressmen continue to recover from gun blasts from Puerto Rican nationalists on Monday. West Germany wants to rearm. And the institute associated with Edward R. Murrow says it is not communist. We begin our world report from Washington.
Jack Bell reporting. 4 Puerto Ricans accused of wounding 5 congressmen in a wild outburst of pistol fire in the House chamber 4 days ago are under indictment for a possible sentence of 75 years in prison. All are held on $100,000 bail each. All but one has confessed. Representative Schaefer told newsmen before he testified at the closed grand jury session that he could identify that person as one involved in the shooting. In Havana, Cuban military intelligence officers arrested for questioning Juan Huarbas, foreign affairs secretary of the Puerto Rican Nationalist Party. Chicago police picked up 5 Puerto Ricans in a roundup of local nationalist leaders. Michigan Republican Congressman Alvin Bentley is the most gravely injured. He is still in serious condition but is no longer on the critical list. The others are improving. Federal prosecutors and a grand jury took little more than the minimum time today to go over the evidence on Monday's shooting. U.S. Attorney Leo Rover used 6 witnesses, including one member of Congress, Michigan Representative Paul Schaefer, to present the case in 1 hour and 45 minutes. Almost immediately afterwards, the grand jury voted indictments charging assault with intent to kill and assault with a dangerous weapon. The suspects fired 30 rounds from the ladies' gallery Monday using automatic pistols during debate over an immigration bill. They unfurled a Puerto Rican flag before they began shooting. In Washington, this is Jack Bell.
This is New York, Hal Boyle reporting. The Institute of International Education, referred to by Wisconsin Senator Joseph McCarthy in his radio speech last week, was founded in 1929 to foster the exchange of students and professors with foreign countries. Institute Vice President Albert Sims says it is a nonprofit agency which acts as a clearinghouse for placement and guidance of foreign students and to advise Americans wishing to study abroad. In an attack on CBS commentator Edward R. Murrow, McCarthy says in 1935 Murrow was an institute official. The Republican senator says Murrow was one of the advisors for a planned summer session at Moscow University. Sims says the institute was asked by Moscow University to establish a summer session for Americans. He says that was called off for some unexplained reason, and since then the institute has been repeatedly attacked in Moscow newspapers as a tool of capitalistic provocateurs. He says Murrow remains a member of the Institute's trustees. In New York, this is Hal Boyle.
This is Paris, France. Stan Turner reporting. French Foreign Minister Georges J. Bidault will confer here Tuesday with West German Chancellor Konrad Adenauer on the Saar question. Adenauer proposed the meeting in an effort to settle the French-German quarrel over the border territory. It's one of the obstacles to French approval of the rearming of West Germany within the proposed European army. The present French Saar economic union would be retained pending the formation of a common European market and monetary union, but greater German Saarland trade would be provided. A deadlock over the future of the Saar, the coal-bearing German-speaking border state now linked economically to France, is one of the main roadblocks to French approval of the European Defense Community Treaty that would arm West German troops within a six-nation command. In Paris, this is Stan Turner.
This is Washington, Lyle C. Wilson, United Press.
Studebaker Corporation Chief Paul Hoffman says American people are distrustful of the future, and this attitude is responsible in large part for the nation's current economic troubles. Hoffman mentioned lagging auto sales as an index. He discussed the nation's economic state of mind today in announcing that the Advertising Council will open a national campaign designed to neutralize recession talk by playing up the prospect of economic growth. Even as Hoffman spoke, there are new reports of layoffs in the auto industry, in his own company, and on the New York Central Railroad. But two automakers, Chrysler and Hudson, issued back-to-work calls for employees they had laid off because of dropping car sales. President Eisenhower has picked this month to indicate whether business will pick up or the government may have to step in and give the economy a shot in the arm. The number of workers claiming unemployment now is the highest in 4 years since 1950. In Washington, this is Lyle C. Wilson.
This is John McCurry in Lenore, North Carolina. Medical personnel and volunteer workers converged on polio-ridden Caldwell County today to prepare for the mass inoculation of 10,800 children with gamma globulin. The nation's second mass immunization program will begin tomorrow in an effort to check a polio epidemic that has claimed 81 victims here. 6 new cases were reported today. For most children of this industrial community in the shadow of the Blue Ridge Mountains, today was a quiet, fear-ridden holiday. Few children were in the streets as cautious parents kept their youngsters home. The vast majority of victims are children under 10 years of age. Most cases have been reported in the past few months. The epidemic has claimed only one life, that of a 12-year-old girl, but 11 of the 81 cases have been placed in iron lungs. In Lenore, North Carolina, John McCurry, United Press.
The Senate voted 46-43 today to link together statehood hopes for Hawaii and Alaska. Republican leader William Noland of California abandoned hopes of reaching agreement on an early vote on the combined bill. Pope Pius XII is slowly improving from his long ailment. He read messages from around the world today congratulating him on his 15th anniversary of his coronation in 1939. KUWS Radio News Time is 6:06. Tim Michaels has this message from the operators of the Arrowhead Bridge.
The Arrowhead Bridge was constructed in 1927 on a site chosen by engineers for its many natural land features, which would be advantageous to direct, fast, and safe communication between two busy industrial cities. Two spacious approaches lead directly to a quick-lifting bridge, which spans the St. Louis River at a point where boat traffic is very light. There are no railway crossings on U.S. Highway 2, which serves the bridge. The Arrowhead Bridge is the shortest route to West Duluth and points west. It's faster, it's safer, it's more scenic. Always take the Arrowhead Bridge between Duluth and Superior. Lou?
A U.S. senator deplored proposals to cut a 4-year-old program to kill sea lamprey spreading in the Great Lakes. Newsman Mike Simonson has the story.
Senator Charles Potter of Michigan says there should be no let-up in the war against the eel-like parasites, which have radically cleared Lakes Michigan and Huron of trout and other valuable fish. The sea lamprey is now starting to ravage Lake Superior. Potter says the lamprey attack is causing many commercial fishermen to go out of business. Only $1 million worth of fish was taken from the Great Lakes last year. That's compared to $12 million worth in 1945. That's when the lamprey first entered the lakes in large numbers, clinging to the bottom of ships passing through the Welland Canal. Most of the money spent to fight the lamprey is for electrical barriers and streams to prevent them from spawning, Lou.
Activities for the City of Superior Centennial are shaping up. The Special Events Division has co-chairman Olaf Sorensen and William Metzger. The division is in charge of the parade, the Centennial Ball, the historic window displays, and the fireworks. Division Chairman Carl Nelson has charge of all the concessions, a carnival show, the sale of official hats, decorations, and the printing of programs. The Publicity Division, headed by Ben Markovich, covers press, radio, and speakers. The committee which will promote the beard contest, known as the Brothers of the Brush, is led by Robert Rooney. Also under this division will be the Sisters of the Swish.
I bet Rooney didn't have any trouble getting volunteers for the Sisters of the Swish Committee. Thanks, Lou Martin, the best newsman and the Brothers of the Brush. A check of the weather today for this Thursday, March 4th, 1954. Continued nippy and windy, campers. Tonight's low will be 7 above, and a high tomorrow maybe at 20. Here's Johnny Ray doing something we hope we'll be able to do pretty soon, walking in the rain on the Tim Michaels Evening Gather Round Show.
Just walking in the rain, getting soaking wet, torture in my heart by trying to forget. Just walking in the rain, so alone and blue, all because my heart still remembers you. People come to window, they always stare at me, shake their heads in sorrow, saying, who can that fool be? Just walking in the rain, thinking how we met. Knowing things could change, somehow I can't forget.
Just walking in the rain, walking in the rain, walking in the rain, just walking in the rain all day.
People come to their window,
walking,
they always walk, stare at me,
walking, walking,
they're shaking their heads in sorrow,
walking,
saying, who can that fool be?
Now who can he be?
Just walking in the rain,
walking in the rain,
thinking how we've met,
walking in the rain,
knowing things have changed,
walking in the rain,
somehow I can't forget.
Johnny Ray and Walking in the Rain on KUWS. Here are some great news for the Spring Bride from Lebo Jewelry Store. Select your diamond with the utmost care to assure rare, sparkling beauty, and she'll be proud for years. Lebo says diamond rings starting at $50 up to $500. Choose it and charge it at Lebo Jewelry Store, 1124 Tower Avenue in Superior. The Cracker Barrel, ladies, is next. Good thing, because I'm hungry.
It isn't literally a Cracker Barrel. It's figuratively speaking. She has stories that people would want to hear while sitting around a Cracker Barrel.
I thought that was a pickle barrel.
Only if you irritate her.
Either way, I could go for some crackers. So let's enjoy the music of Ray Anthony now, and at last, the Evening Gather Round Show.
Thank you.
great Ray Anthony on KUWS.
Let me introduce the Cracker Barrel lady, Miss Lucille Horn.
She brought crackers.
Of course I brought crackers. I'm the Cracker Barrel lady.
But it's supposed to be figuratively speaking.
I'd have brought some cheese, too, this being the dairy state and all, but I've been so rushed these days.
Man. Good cracker.
That's in poor taste.
It tastes just fine to me.
Anyway, it's wonderful of you to join us, Miss Horn, with your nuggets of news.
No, Barbie Jean does nuggets in the news. But have some crackers and pull up a chair, folks, around Lucy's Cracker Barrel. Two upstate women who have only met three times say they don't care to meet each other ever again. Mrs. Joe Lipinski of Birchwood and Mrs. Robert Speller of Spooner.
That would be the Spellers of Spooner.
That's disgusting. Don't say S's while eating crackers.
Have chosen the same occasions to give birth to their children. They first met 3 years ago when each had girls at the Shell Lake Hospital. The second time they met was 2 years ago. Yep, you guessed it. It was baby boys. And on Monday, it was two more boys at the same hospital. Imagine! Can it be a fad at Superior State, or are the rushing days on? I saw a pretty co-ed wearing crazy argyle stockings on campus.
Kids these days.
Hey, Lou, eat a bunch of crackers and then try whistling.
No.
Here's another one from the younger set. They call it Pig's Dinner in Ashland. Evan Berg heaps on the ice cream, bananas, and all the trimmings and serve it in a dish designed like a pig's trough. If you finish it, Evan gives you a medal.
That's called a banana split. It's the latest thing.
Rather excessive, if you ask me. Here's a good cause for you, Mr. and Mrs. Radio Listener. Superior U.S. Customs Deputy Director Andrew Holden is collecting signatures on the Crusade of Freedom Scroll. Those who sign it are urged to donate dollars for Radio Free Europe. The goal is for 25 million good Americans to sign it and offset Russian propaganda.
Stop trying to whistle.
He's kind of a big kid, isn't he? And finally, the day of the Superior Winter Frolic Parade, the mail collection box at Tower and 11th Street wouldn't unlock. So letter carriers foreman Bill Baker jumped into his car and went to the scene. He started to jimmy the box to the amazement of a lady standing nearby. It seems Mr. Baker wasn't in uniform, so the woman ran for the police. But by the time they arrived, Bill Baker was already gone. Police notified the post office of this daring, dastardly deed in broad daylight. Bill Baker confessed he was just doing his job. And that's the news from the Cracker Barrel lady. Yours truly, Miss Lucille Horn.
Crumbs, crumbs. Everywhere crumbs. You're making a mess.
Oh, come on, Lou. Crumbs don't hurt anyone.
I especially hate crumbs in bed.
Why, Lou, does that happen very often?
Why, Lou, how forward of you. Here's Jay Morgan in Fascination on the Evening Gather Round Show.
Fascination, I know, and it might have ended right then at the start,
just a passing glance, just a brief romance, and I might have gone on my way empty-hearted. It was fascination, I know, seeing you alone with the moonlight above. Then I touched your hand, and next moment I kissed you. Fascination turned to
Jane Morgan and Fascination on KUWS.
It's time for the Labor News and Views with Superior Federation of Labor editor Jay Fisher. You're eating crackers, too.
I means to tell you, Lou, there's nothing like a good cracker. You got your Graham, your hardtack, your saltine, and my personal favorite, Ritz crackers. Ritz turns 20 years old this year. It got its start in 1934. In spite of its elitist name after the Ritz-Carlton Hotel, brothers and sisters of labor love them.
Thank you for not eating and talking at the same time.
Lou hates that.
Say, Lou, I heard in the news that Joe McCarthy is finally getting slapped upside the head by Ike in his own party. Let me tell you, it couldn't happen to a nicer fella. The American people are not going to be bamboozled by his charges of treason, especially against organized labor. Just check out that record, and you'll find McCarthyism is barren of any accomplishments in the 4 years that he's been accusing people of being commies.
It looks like a showdown between the Army and Senator McCarthy is close at hand. And Edward R. Murrow is going after McCarthy, too.
It's about time, but that's not why I'm here. I'm here to tell you that we're in big danger of losing our young people. Right now, unemployment is the worst it's been since 1950, and it's highest for our young adults. In many cases, young people have to leave our fair city to find jobs. So, I asks you, how can we keep our young people?
I got it. Free cheese, crackers, and rock and roll.
I heard some of that rock and roll music. I'm not sure I likes it, but I knows the kids do. But I've got a thought. People have to stop holding down two jobs. That second job is often one that a youngster right out of college or high school could get, but can't because there's just nothing else out there. Think of this. There are plenty of green pastures right here in Superior if we let this new generation have a shot. If Superior is to grow, we must induce our young people to stay here, get married, buy a house, and raise a family. So, people, let's share the work.
Superior Federation of Labor editor Jay Fisher.
And remember, union brothers and sisters, the Superior Federation's next meeting is Wednesday at 8 p.m. at the Labor Temple. Be there. I understand the machinist's auxiliary will be serving refreshments. They make a mean chip dip.
Dip and crackers. Hey, grab your coonskin caps there, campers. Here's a new one from the 1954 Hit Parade and a new TV program, too. This is Bill Hayes and the Ballad of Davy Crockett on the Evening Gather Round Show.
Davy, Davy Crockett, the king of the wild frontier. Born on a mountaintop in Tennessee, the greenest state in the land of the free. Raised in the woods so's he knew every tree, and killed him a bar when he was only three. Davy, Davy Crockett, the king of the wild frontier. He fought single-handed through the Injun War, till the Creeks was whipped, a peace was in store. And while he was handling this risky chore, he made himself a legend forevermore. Davy, Davy Crockett, king of the wild frontier. Oh, when he lost his love, his grief was gall. In his heart he wanted to leave it all and lose himself in the forests tall. But he answered instead his country's call. Davy, Davy Crockett, the choice of the whole frontier.
He went off to Congress and served a spell, fixing up the government and laws as well. Took over Washington, so we hear tell, and patched up the crack in the Liberty Bell. Davy, Davy Crockett, serving his country well.
When he come home, his politicking done, why the big Western march had just begun. He packed up his gear and his trusty gun, and lit out the grinning to follow the sun.
Davy, Davy Crockett, leading a pioneer.
His land is biggest, and his land is best, from grassy plains to the mountain crest. He's ahead of us all, a meeting the test, and following his legend right into the West.
Davy, Davy Crockett, the king of the wild frontier.
Hayes and the Ballad of Davy Crockett on KUWS.
A startling development. We have a caller with a differing viewpoint about our young people.
You mean someone's listening?
We have Mr. Frank Kramer of Superior on the line. Go ahead, sir.
I think that union fella's cracked. And for those juveniles with their high school diplomas and their fancy college degrees, let me tell you, I never got any schooling since I was 8 years old. I had to work for a living. And I will tell you how I was brought up, and I'm still living to tell and working in my store. When I was on the farm, now that was hard work. I had to get up at 5 o'clock and work on the field. I worked all day, and for supper we got potatoes and sour milk. If the children of today worked, there would be a better world than letting them roam around and do bad things. All they want to do is run out nights. Let them help their parents, and then if they want to go out, let them go to church. I will be 77 years old and an old settler of Superior come May 17th. Born May 17th, 1877. As far as I'm concerned, they don't need more pay. They need more work. It's good for them. And furthermore, tail gunner Joe McCarthy's right. We need to run those commies out of government on a rail. And it isn't polite to eat crackers and talk at the same time, and I don't like the music you play, and people don't answer the phone, right? And
that'll do it for Frank Kramer of Superior. Thank you, sir.
Apparently, he raised some sour cows on that farm of his.
And it had some weird permanent effect on his disposition.
Nice, warm childhood memories. That's a crotchety, cantankerous, crusty, crabby guy. And I'm just in my C's.
Say, Timmy, you really plowed through that cracker barrel.
I don't feel too hot.
What did I tell you? I told you not to eat so many crackers.
I don't care if I ever see another cracker again. In the meantime, campers, stay tuned for the Lone Ranger, Edward R. Murrow, Perry Como, and Vaughn Monroe. We'll be back tomorrow, same time, same campground, the good Lord willing, and... Oh, boy, my tummy doesn't blow.
See, I hear some rumbling.
Rather ominous.
In the eventuality that he does blow, I'm getting out of here pronto.
You've been listening to Radio Superior 1954, an original production by KUWS Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. Radio Superior is produced and written by Mike Simonson. Other performances by John Munson, Kathy Bergren, Bruce McDonald, and Pat Kelly. All events reported on Radio Superior 1954 are actual accounts from the Superior Evening Telegram. This is your announcer, Mark Snow, speaking. Good night.